It's time for Talking.Golf on Wisconsin.Golf. And now, here's your host, Rob Hernandez.
And we welcome you to Talking.Golf. Rob Hernandez here. Our new format kicks off here this week, and our first guest to be the guinea pig in this new format, we welcome Andy Landenberger, the Director of Junior Golf for the Wisconsin PGA, because this week is an exciting week. The junior schedule gets unveiled. Andy, you showed a little bit of the hand in your newsletter with some of the things that are coming up, but I know that it's quite an ordeal to try to get everything scheduled up front so everybody knows the entirety of the schedule. And I think even last year, you were probably scheduling junior events into maybe March?
Yeah, absolutely. This year, schedule's probably 80% done. We're planning on releasing a schedule on Wednesday, January 8th. We'll come out. It's just kind of fitting in pieces where other schedules and stuff conflicted. You know, obviously WSJ's got a big schedule. Our section has a big schedule. So now we're just trying to fill in all those courses. I mean, once we put the schedule out, you'll see a lot of the bigger events already scheduled. Now it's just kind of trying to find out a certain Wednesday or Thursday where we got to fit in another course in an area that we need to be at this summer.
So when you send out the newsletter, and then I look at those are pretty much the major events that you've got scheduled out. I always look for something that jumps off the page, and lo and behold, the thing that jumped off the page to me this year is the fact that the WPGA Junior Championship, which has traditionally been held at two Milwaukee County courses, will still be held at Brown Deer for one of the rounds, but you've got the Wisconsin Country Club, the former Brynwood Country Club, to jump in and host the other round, which I think is amazing. How did that happen?
Yeah, that actually happened. I was at a Golf Coaches Association meeting, and Brian Scrobel mentioned that, you know, hey, they've been working with Wisconsin Club and having events, and they're really open to having stuff over there. So I reached out to the general manager over there, and he was like, absolutely. They oversee some other golf courses around the country. So he's not here like full time, mm-hmm. But he does stay here a lot in the summer. He's like, yeah, what do you think you want? I said, well, we'd love to have, you know, our 2-day event. We've had at Brown Deer Dress for the past couple of years, Brown Deer Oakwood. We really like to expand that. We'd like to be closer to Brown Deer because right. of the proximity of kids having of siblings and getting one kid from one course to the other. And I just kind of explained that scenario to him. He's like, well, what do you think you need? And I said, well, we really need 2 days of your golf course, a lot of 2 days.
Right.
And he said, yeah, like you think a double tee, double shot. I'm like, yeah, we usually do double tee morning, afternoon. And I ran the scenario by him, and he only needed a day or two to get the approval, and he said, yeah, we're in. We really want to be a part of it, and, you know, because they haven't really hosted anything prior to that ever for us. I get it. They're busy. They're a private club, and they got members to appease and stuff. But, yeah, it was a great conversation, and that's we're super excited about that.
And we should back up, too. In the newsletter, you touched on the fact that 2024 was another record year. 1,499 junior members and a record number of entries. I can only imagine with 60-plus junior tour events on top of the Players Tour events, on top of the par 3 events, both statewide and in the Madison-Milwaukee market, you're getting more kids involved than ever.
Yeah, I think 24 was fantastic. I think the big thing for us was expanding the schedule more up north, right? We're always trying to do better up north. North, when I say north, I'm talking, you know, Stevens Point, north of there. Mm-hmm. To cover those kids that, you know, they shouldn't have to drive 4 hours to play in a junior tournament. So expanding that tour up there, which I think we did really well in 24. And that starts with, hey, the first event you have 30 or 40 kids in 24. We go back to that course. Hopefully that expands to 50 or 60 and more kids hear about it in the area, and it just kind of grows that way. That's kind of how our Madison Par 3 tour continues to grow. So I think that was the main thing, is kind of expanding the schedule into some areas that, you know, maybe weren't represented years ago that we need to do a better job of. And, yeah, I mean, almost 1,500 members. That was up about 150 members from the prior year. And entries was the record amount of entries. I think we did like 9,400 entries in the summer. And, you know, a lot of kids knew, like, hey, if you didn't register when stuff came open, you know, take advantage of that time, right? You get a couple weeks to register as a junior member. Take that time, because if you want to register for an event in June 1st, and you're looking to play at, I'll just throw out Oneida or Horseshoe Bay or places like that, right? Like, if you're looking to play in one of those events and you didn't do it prior to that, you know, you're probably going to be on the wait list, and we do our best to get you in, but you kind of miss that window of trying to register, right? So the big thing I told, and it was a lot of people this year because of the new members, right? We picked up so many new members.
Right.
They're registering in June. We had some in July. Like, they're registering and then thinking that they can get into the event that's the next week.
Right.
And it's just not the case, right? It's not a, we don't hide it. It's just, I wish people would kind of look before that and be like, hey, we're just registering now. So the new members, really stress to them, like, hey, here's kind of the timeline on when you register and stuff. Like, you know, your article's been great in the past about, hey, here's kind of here's the dates to look at, right? Like, you need to be on top of this stuff come April 3rd. Make sure you get your membership by then. Use that timing in those couple weeks to at least register for some tournaments you know you want to play in, to get into those events. Or if not into the event, at least you're part of the lottery for those events, because we still do some lotteries for events that are super popular.
So the real crux of it is that this year, for some reason, and I guess it was that way for the girls' high school season last fall, because it was one of those years where it wasn't back-to-back with the State University Conference conference meet, which I always like, because you can see the best in the Division III college in the state up at Reedsburg, and then you jump right to University Ridge, and it's the top girls in the state. And so the boys is the same way. I didn't realize until about a week ago that it's not the, the first and the second, or the second and the third, it's the eighth and the ninth. And so that's about as late as you can go. And then the earliest day for practice for the girls is August 11th. So that kind of right there is Andy Landenberger's window to be able to work his magic with all these courses around the state. And I guess how do you feel you came out of it with the, you know, the 80% of the events that you've got on the schedule right now?
Yeah, I think definitely starting later isn't helping, right? Because we're in such a small window that we can fit our bigger events in, our major events in, for everybody, that it definitely is harder. Not gonna lie, it's harder to get everything kind of where we want it to be, the least conflicting with other events, to give kids, you know, the opportunity to play closer to home. They don't have to travel as much. To try and work that all into that frame was hard. You know, we're still scheduling a handful of events, still talking to clubs. I mean, they locked up a couple clubs today, like Hilly Haven and Willowbrook, the future tour events, and kind of every day locking up another course or two. So we'll be done hopefully in the next couple weeks, kind of wrapping everything up. But, I think it's tough, right? I mean, it's a compact schedule. I mean, there's no doubt about it. It definitely gives kids the opportunity to play in, you know, multiple events and bigger events of ours.
So we talked about the Wisconsin Club jumping aboard with the WPGA Junior Championship. For you, what are you most proud of in terms of, you know, some stuff that's new, new hosts of events, anything that you feel is something that your junior members will really appreciate?
I think bringing in, you'll see different courses this year for sure in different pockets. We go up north and we're going to Royal Scott and we're going to Hilly Haven and up in the Green Bay DePere areas. Like, we're going back to Monroe. We got a good stretch of, I think it'll be finalized, but we're probably going to do a future tour at Century World and then go to the Sandbox and then go kind of a run up there where we go, Northern Bay and Bullseye and like kind of a stretch up in the Dells-ish area. So I think we got some good, you know, along with the Irish course and these other events. I think, Horseshoe Bay is going to move to the end of July. Normally they've been in August where maybe a girl didn't want to play or wasn't able to play. So we moved that up a week, which is great. It's not the day after. It's typically the day after the Sherry, where we didn't get a ton of girls because, you know, you got 100 girls playing in a 3-day event, how many girls are really going to travel up to Surgeon Bay to play up there. So we moved that one up a little bit. And then just kind of, yeah, working some, you'll see some normal courses on some dates where they're normally at. They're not. They're different. They needed a different day to host. So you kind of see some courses moved around that we've been at. But I think, you know, we've done a good job of giving a good mix of everything.
I'm just scrolling through the schedule that everybody will see when we post this podcast and the story on Wednesday in conjunction with your schedule release. And some of the courses on the Junior Tour that really stand out that maybe we haven't seen before or we see occasionally, Stoughton Country Club, Maple Bluff Country Club are two that come to mind. I saw another one in there too. I mean, Lake Wisconsin now, it's a couple years in a row, and they had the Junior Boys last year, and that was very successful. Lake Lawn Resort, a really solid course down in the Lake Geneva area, and you've gotten, I think, great cooperation from the Lake Geneva courses, and this year, you know, they'll be involved in a slightly different role because you've got, I think it's Grand Geneva Resort hosting the father-son and the mother-child on their two courses over a 2-day stretch. So, I mean, they're involved, but maybe not in a conventional way, and at least on your schedule. Any others that kind of jump out as ones that you've been, that you've kind of gotten to come aboard that, you know, maybe haven't been Junior Tour stops?
Good call. Are you going to throw me on the spot as I'm looking?
Well, I don't know if there's anything else.
I'm looking at my schedule.
I'm looking here. I mean, you mentioned Hilly Haven. Willowbrook for that future event. I mean, Willowbrook is the old Whitewater Country Club.
Yeah.
Nine-hole country club. Very, you know, well-conditioned back when I played it many years ago. I think my colleague Gary D'Amato probably played it when he was back in college at UW-Whitewater.
Sure. We had an event there when I first started, a future tour event there.
Sure.
And honestly, I don't know if we have been back since. But it's changed over. Brett Weber's now there, who's the GM, the host professional. He's hosted events of ours before. He reached out and said, "Hey, I want an event at my place. Why not Willowbrook?" I'm like, "Sure. What do you want to do?" He's like, "Well, I got 9 holes and future tour event would be great." And pretty easy conversation to host. He was on board right away and reached out to me. So that was great. I mean, I get a lot of clubs that reach out to me and say, "Hey, we'd like to host. What do I need to do?" Which is awesome because we're always looking for other places to go. I'm just looking.
Meadowbrook Country Club's a Junior Tour stop this year.
Yeah, Junior Tour, right? They couldn't do the second day of the Players Tour that they normally do.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a Junior Tour later in the year. We're still working on that Players Tour. That'll be the 15th, 16th. Not exactly sure. We got a couple of options there. Just trying to figure out another one for that Sunday afternoon right now.
Sure.
Have maybe a possibility. We just don't have it locked for sure yet. But working on it because we'd like to have another 2-day in there. Because if you look at the schedule, you know, that's really the only other spot where you could put a 2-day in and fit kind of, you know, and fit with everything.
Yeah, I mean, the other challenge for our listeners, and again, we're talking to Andy Landenberger, the director of junior golf for the state PGA, is that, you know, you've got beginners, you've got kids who are looking to play at a high level and need to be tested with these multi-day events with, you know, what I guess is lumped in under the Players Tour. But they also, when they get to a certain age in high school, are trying to qualify or exempt into qualifying for the state open, state amateur, state men's play on the men's and women's side. So there's a lot more maybe than meets the eye with how you have to juggle things.
Absolutely, yeah. Sometimes it works out. Sometimes it, you know, obviously we always want it to work out. We do the schedule the best we can. Sometimes there's some conflicts. But, yeah, normally when that kid, for example, gets, you know, obviously they get to that level, I would use Peyton Haugen as a perfect example, right?
Mm-hmm.
She just signed her letter of intent to play at Michigan State, big-time player. You know, she can kind of pick and choose now where she's going to probably play in some bigger events, right, that get her ready to play college golf. So she's going to be looking at the state open, the women's AM, maybe she tries to qualify for the junior if she wants to go back, which she played in the junior championship national last year. But, you know, kind of getting on her schedule, she's probably looking more at those couple bigger events to narrow her schedule down because she's probably going to play nationally a little bit too. And that's kind of where that kid gets when they get to that level, and they should, absolutely. They need to get out there, see what's out there, playing those big-time events.
Well, and as I look on your website, again, wisconsin.pga.com, you click on the junior golf. It's basically WISC Junior Golf, W-I-S-C, juniorgolf.com. I know there's one page there, Andy, where you kind of map out a path that the parents and families can take, starting with maybe the drive, chip, and putt, moving on to the junior league, moving on to maybe regional tours that you and others offer, and then jumping into the Futures Tour, the Junior Tour, the Players Tour, and, before you know it, kids have aged out of this thing.
Right.
It seems like a long road, but in the end, it's really not.
Yeah, that journey, I love that. I mean, that journey page is perfect. That's usually one of the first spots when we get a question from a parent. That's what we're kind of referring to. We're like, hey, do you know about this? Like, DCP, have you tried we've done drive, chip, and putt. Oh, hey, have you done a par 3 event? Oh, no, we haven't done that. What's that, right? So we kind of get them on that little roadmap of, hey, let's plan this stuff. And, sometimes their player is 11 or 12 and is a good player and is already kind of by that stuff, right? So now we have that other conversation of, okay, are they playing 18 holes? Then they're maybe ready for an intermediate tour, a junior tour. If they're not ready for that stuff, then they're still a 9-hole player probably, which is a future tour par 3. So we kind of get them in that mold of at least give them the direction on where to start and then see what they go from there.
And that roadmap is downloadable, so that's also kind of cool that you're able to do that. So look for that. I guess as we kind of, got about 10 minutes left in the podcast part here, we can always I might give you a holler after we're done here, Andy, see if there's anything else. But the schedule kicks off on June 1st. Let's back up a little bit. January 27th, if you aren't a member or haven't been a member, it's a key date because junior membership registration goes live on the 27th, and those that have been a member, they renew, and those that haven't, then they can join in. Why don't you tell us a little bit about the path to registering for tournaments?
Sure. The week prior, so probably the week of January 20th here in a couple of weeks, we'll send out an email to all the kids and players that were members last year to remind them, hey, here's your ID and password. When you go to renew your membership, renew with your ID and password so all your information stays with you, right? All your history of your results, all your finishes, all that kind of stuff stays with you. Yeah. And then we'll push that out, a different email and stuff to everybody that was a non-member but played in an event and to kind of reintroduce the membership. Hey, if you didn't know, here's the membership. You save money on events. You get priority window to register for tournaments. So that it'll start the 27th. So basically from January 27th to April 3rd is kind of where you should register for your membership, just so you're in that mode for when tournaments go live. You get that two and a half week window to register for tournaments.
And I should jump in too, Andy. You mentioned keeping that trail when you registered, not always, registering as a new golfer every year. As I do the junior rankings every year, and I know as college coaches look for results of kids, they like it when it goes back to the very beginning. And I'll admit, I think my oldest child, who started out on the Futures Tour, played for a year there, then took a break, and then came back on. She's got two different profiles that I have to go back to look. I remember we
right.
did her, and I couldn't find it. And,
yeah.
and I think with a number of these kids, the path gets broken, and it looks like they haven't played a lot. And that's, I think while not – you don't do this necessarily for others or for college coaches or to show off to anybody, but – if that's in your thought process, that's very important to make sure you
break
that chain in your database.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, it's important, I think, on us. I mean, we can now, we have the ability to merge files, which is huge. But obviously with 1,500 members, there's a lot of members coming in, and, you know, some names we know, some names we don't know. So we'd like you to kind of keep that history going. And the other thing is when, you know, a non-member plays in an event, every time a non-member plays, they get another profile, right? So if they play, they get, you know, if they play in an event, and then they get a profile for that event. And then if they played in, say, six events, right, they'll have six profiles out there, which gets a little – so when a parent calls me to say, hey, Andy, why is my son or daughter not they don't have – where are those other tournaments? They played in six events, and I look them up, and it's like, you're not a junior member, right? Which is easy to fix. If they then become a junior member, no problem. We can backdate the membership. Sure. We can refund you for the tournaments that you played in already, mm-hmm. and take that off your membership cost,
yep.
and then preload it all in, and then it looks correct going forward, so they have one profile with all their results in it. So it's kind of big. We stress that a lot. We usually send out a couple text messages, a couple emails about it, because it is important. Like, that's the biggest thing is, you know, sometimes we'll get a kid that, you know, we know very well, and he's a good player or she's a good player, and they register, and it's like, wait a second, you're not a first-year member. Like,
right.
You're year 10.
Yeah.
But maybe you forgot your ID password, and you couldn't figure it out, and you didn't ask. But we'd like you to, you know, get that right, because then it's right for the whole year.
Sure.
And we don't talk about it.
And then April 3rd, as you mentioned, is the tournament registration date. Is it still a 6 p.m. start on that?
And
because it's almost like trying to get concert tickets to Taylor Swift for some of these events.
Yeah, it's that is still TBA. We don't are still TBD. Normally we've done it, you know, at night, not crazy like we used to do it back when you probably registered your daughter for events. It was midnight or 10 o'clock or whatever we did, right? Like that was – those are crazy times back then. We just did all lottery, and it was open for everybody.
Yeah.
We don't quite do it that way. The big thing is now is, you know, you don't have to do it right away on the 3rd, right? As a junior member, you have the window to register for events, and some of those events that lottery drawing is, you know, you get a week or how many ever days it is to register for that event, right? So whether you do it on April 3rd or I think some of those it's like the 7th, that's okay, right? You could do it the 6th and be okay and still be in that event for the lottery. Like, you don't have to be on your computer right away. Now, it helps for a lot of those events that doesn't have a lottery. If you're, you know, some of those junior tours and stuff that are going to be popular, if you're on right away and you get into those events, great. I mean, we do, again, fill the other misnomer is, oh, hey, I look at the field and there's all these girls that registered that got in versus boys, or all these boys that got in versus girls. Well, we split each field up so we make it equal, right? We take how many boys are allocated, how many girls. So when we go to fill the field, it's equal out or even more swayed towards girls and having more girls play. So that gets a little – because people look at it and be like, hey, how come there's only, you know, 40 girls in the tournament? And we look at it like, hey, well, there's only 72 in the whole field. So, you know, more than half of those are girls. So that's kind of how we break down. Once we get into lottery drawings and stuff like that, we get some questions about it, which are good questions, right? They don't know how many people try to register for the event. The biggest event is usually U-Ridge. I think last year we had 260 kids try and register for University Ridge. And we only have, I think we have 81 spots.
Yeah.
To fill, right? Because they want us to do all threesomes, which is fine. So we just kind of said, hey, we have this amount of time. We have to do all threesomes. So how do we break that up, right? And the one thing was, okay, we might have to not allow younger players in the field. University Ridge isn't the easiest golf course to get around. So we kind of said, you know what? This needs to be a 14 to 18-year-old junior tour event, kind of like we do at the Irish course, because it's harder. Right, so we kind of break that down and we figure, okay, how many girls of that 260 are 14 to 18? How many were 14, 15? How many 16, 18? And the percentage of that we take into the field, right? Mm-hmm. So it's a little bit of, I mean, that's how we look at those fields when we fill them by lottery. It's not just all the boys that register get in and the girls are left over. That's kind of a, you know, we get that question a lot, and it's not the case. Right. Totally not.
Well, I hope you weren't told there would be no math on your job, because that it sounds like there's math with a lot of these events. And just, you know, I think we should, too. We've got about 5 minutes to go in this, Andy, and I appreciate you taking the time to kind of explain some stuff.
Yeah.
You know, especially, you know, for the junior golf families that are making the transition from the junior tour to what is called the Players Tour, you're not going to see as many Player Tour event numbers, but you're going to see a lot of Player Tour events that aren't really labeled that way. The Dells Right. Championship is a Players Tour event. What's been both the Tour Championship and the PGA Great Lakes Series at Washington County is a Players Tour event.
Yeah.
The Junior Masters, the Junior Girls Championship, the Sherry Steinhauer, the Mike Schnarr, our Players Tour events. You don't run the WSGA Junior, which is called the Wisconsin, you know, State Junior Boys, right, but that would be considered a player event. And if you are playing in all those, there really isn't any more room to schedule more outside of that June date you're talking about, where Racine held the spot last year. That fills up in a hurry, and you really don't want kids to get burned out on those.
Yeah, I mean, you got to kind of – obviously, you're not expecting a player to play 4 or 5 consecutive days of serious golf, right, of, you know, two-day events or even events where there's going to be a cut. You know, the showcase event is also in there. That's considered a, you know, two-day Players Tour event. You know, yeah, like you said, we got the Dells. I'm just trying to think of what other – you know, the event that we'll have, it's going to be – the 13th, 14th, 15th July at Washington County. It won't be a PGA Great Lakes event. That's something we try to do with some other sections in the Midwest to get them involved and get them to send some players up. That didn't go very well the last couple of years, so we're going to turn that back into our event. It'll be a 54-hole event with a cut. I don't have a great name yet, Rob, so if you're thinking about something, you want to throw the Rob Hernandez invitation on there?
I was going to say, Landenberger. The Landenberger. And I'm sure there's a trophy of something that you've always carried with you, a clipboard or a megaphone.
How about that?
A megaphone would be a good trophy.
We can give them a Carl Yunus picture. That'll be the winner right there. That event, we're going to have it. It's going to be that. We just don't know if we'll go back to, like, years before where it was, like, a tour championship.
Yeah.
Where, you know, you win an event, you get in. Might be more based on kind of like on our Players Tour at Black Wolf Run, where it's more of an invite based on how you played last year. Mm-hmm. So a lot of the fields filled on the points list from 2024, and then kids can earn their way in. Leading up to the event in 2025 on how they play, kind of fill the field that way. Just not exactly sure of the name yet. I'm still kicking it around.
The Schwab.
Yeah.
The Schwab
the
Cup.
The Schwab Cup. Yeah, Schwab Cup. There you go.
Oh, don't tell Ed that we brought that. Well, he'll hear this. There's no doubt about that. Well, Ed, I appreciate the time. We'll talk a little more off air about just some other details in the schedule. I'll give you a holler. But, in the final minute here, anything else that maybe we haven't covered?
No, I think we covered a lot. Obviously, if we do a junior calendar that's mailed out in March. So if you're listening to this and you haven't received that before, shoot myself or Jazz an email. We'll put you on the mailing list. We send out a nice magazine style calendar that has all the events listed on it. It lists all the events by, like, you know, requirements and age and kind of everything that you need to know. Basically, there's a lot of information on our website that can be a little bit much, but it's easier to read in, like, a book format, which people like. So that's always, you know, send us an email. We'll put you on the list and add you to the mailing list for the spring.
On that note, we say thank you and appreciate you joining us for our maiden voyage with the new Talking.Golf.
Awesome. Thanks, Rob.
Thank you.